You have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I was driving the other night, and I saw this big sign out front of a big church, bright letters. And it said these words, "God made you live forever." Did you ever think about that? God made you live forever. You ever think about that? The fact that you are an eternal being. It's true, you know. But as I read that sign, I wondered to myself, I wonder if they're going to tell their people the rest of the story. And that is this. You will either spend that eternity in heaven, basking in the glory of Almighty God and His presence, or you will spend it in a place of horrifying, eternal punishment and judgment for your sinfulness. And that's the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus teaches. That's what Jesus is teaching in our text this morning. There's only two possible outcomes when you close your eyes in death. Only two. There are not many ways to heaven. There are not many ways to enlightenment or to becoming clear, as some might say. Many avenues that all end up in the same place, that is heaven. Salvation is not some nebulous, all-inclusive thing that everyone one day will partake of. No, indeed. That is not what our Savior teaches this morning. There is only one way to heaven. One. And only one horrifying alternative to heaven. And everyone on earth, and everyone who has ever lived, and everyone in this room, including you, will end up in one of those two places. The weight of the text this morning is heavy. The power of this text is heavy. There are no second chances, folks. Only two options. There is gate one and there is gate two. There is a narrow road and a wide road. There's a constricted road and a broad road. There is a road in which few travel, and there is a road in which many travel. In other words, there's no second chances, there's no do-overs, there's no reincarnation, there's no cosmic recycling of souls, as some would have you believe, there's no purgatory, there's no place to go to work off your sin as if this were some spiritual halfway house. If you're a computer guy this morning, it is binary. Just two places you will end up, one of two of them. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, let me just see if I have that for you. It is appointed for men to die once. Then what? Come back till you get it right? No. And after this comes what? Judgment. And in that judgment, everyone will end up in only one of two places, and Jesus tells us about them this morning in our text. I ask you the all-important question this morning, which road are you on? Perhaps the most important question I could ever ask anyone, perhaps the most important question I must ponder for myself, and have pondered as I've gone through this the whole week. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, test yourselves. Discover the nature or the character of something by testing. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. And then this word, examine yourself. Look at yourself. Look at your life. Peer into your heart. Examine here means to determine its genuineness, to evaluate. And a funny thing happens, you know. Whenever a pastor does this, when a sermon such as this is preached among the people, a funny thing happens when we're exhorted by God's grace to examine our own hearts. We tend to look at ourselves superficially, don't we? To take sort of a quick glance at our life, to take a quick glance at ourselves, and we tend to, if we're honest, have a blind spot. We look at ourselves superficially. We make a surface judgment check upon ourselves. I'm saved. And we do this with a lot of things, really. You're watching the news, of course. This probably happens many times as you're watching the news these days. And the news reports something, and you say to yourself, oh, man, he's got to be guilty. Quick judgment. Or, oh, man, he's got to be innocent. None of the evidence is in, but we make a verdict. And then eventually what happens? Evidence begins to seep out. So, I guess I was wrong. Don't do that this morning. My appeal to you is that you would look at yourself this morning with honest eyes. Four times in Scripture, the believer is told not to be self-deceived. Four times. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, Paul says. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. And the inference there is you can be deceived. He's speaking to professing believers. You can be misled. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Galatians 6, 7 through 8, listen to this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he shall also reap. And then these words. This is so important for us today. Right here in this room. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Some scary stuff there. This is going to be a scary sermon. At the end, with the hope and the joy that Christ brings. James 1:16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, do not be misled. And so this morning I would ask you to look at your own life over the next few weeks, even as I preach the second part next week, and look at the evidence and the fruit that your life is bearing and ask yourself the hard but honest question, which road am I on here? Which one is me? Not what do I think, not what do I feel, but what does the evidence of my life show? Stakes couldn't be higher. Follow along with me, please, as we read our text this morning, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14. We will finish 13 today and we will commence with 14 next week. Hear now the word of the Lord. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it, for the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let's pray. Father, we just would ask, as I have prayed all week, you know the heart of each one. Oh, what a tragedy it would be for anyone in this room to stand before God and hear those horrifying words. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So I would ask this morning that by your Spirit you might minister to others, to all of us, that we might see ourselves clearly, and that we might not look to others. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Jesus, our Savior, has been telling us the last several months, the last several chapters, that you and I as Christians are to live counter-cultural to the world that we live in. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be forgiving. We're not to lust. We're to be faithful to our spouses. We are to keep our word. We are to let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. We are to turn the other cheek. We are to go the extra mile. We ought to love our enemies as Christians. We ought to pray for those who persecute us. We are not to do things for show, but for God. We are not to store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. We are not to worry. Why? Because he promises us that he's going to take care of us every single step of the way. We ought to be careful how we judge. We ought to look at ourselves first. We have looked at the golden rule. Whatever you want people to do for you, you are to do for them. And all along the way, the Lord reminds us that he's going to be supporting us and helping us, right? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. And then almost in summary to everything that our Savior has been teaching us through the last several chapters, we now come to verse 13, and it is a perfect climax to this entire section as our Savior exhorts us in this way. Verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. It's a command. It's an imperative. It's critical to you that you enter the narrow gate. It is essential for you to enter through the narrow gate. You must enter through the narrow gate. Our Savior's pleading with them, all the while commanding them, enter through the narrow gate. Why? Because the alternative is horrible. It's horrifying. Devastating. And note those words through. Dia. You've got to come through the narrow gate. You've got to enter through the narrow gate. If you don't come through that way, you have no hope of everlasting life. It's got to be this narrow gate. What is this gate that our Savior speaks of? I think Scripture's pretty clear. It's Christ himself. Here we have a gate that leads to life. A doorway that leads to eternal life. a gate that brings life. 1 John 1:4, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Here we have the light of men who brings life to men. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but for me. And that is spoken in answer to, Lord, how will we know the way? And he says, I'm the way. It's the only door through which eternal life comes. Scripture teaches us that. John 10, 7 through 9. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you. That's amen, amen. Listen, heads up about what I'm going to tell you here. That's what truly, truly means. I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. That is, every other way is a thief and a robber. But the sheep did not hear them. And then these words, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Not he might be saved, but he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the only door through which eternal life comes. Note Scripture. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved, what? Through him. Romans 5, 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come through him. Romans 8, 37 through 39, we all know this one, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. How? By our own strength? No, through him who loved us. And then these beautiful words, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, therefore he is able to save forever or completely those who draw near to God, what? Through him, since he always, always, always lives to make intercession for us. 1 John 4:9. By this, the love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live, what? Through him. Make no mistake. Gate one is Jesus Christ. And only Jesus Christ, period. It is Christ exclusively, Christ singularly. How do I know that? Well, if the last 100 verses weren't enough for you, there's Acts chapter 4, verse 6. And there is salvation in no one else. Pretty encompassing there. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. It's got to be Jesus Christ. Period. End of story. And so the first thing I want to point out this morning is this. There are not many ways to eternal life. There aren't many roads to heaven. There is one. Jesus Christ the righteous. And that's it. Period. Every single other way. It's gate two. Every single other way is gate two. Has to be. If he's the only other way, every other way is gate two. Giving you that as a overview of the various or the two different gates. So we've identified our gates. Note this. Gate one is narrow, constricted, few, and leads to life. Gate two is wide. It's got a wide opening. It's broad. Once you get through, it's broad. There's a whole bunch of people going through it, but it ends up in destruction. Gate one is Jesus Christ. Gate two is every other way. Buddha and Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Transcendental Meditation, Sikhism, Christian Science, New Age, Wicca, Scientology, Mormonism, Hare Krishna, Agnosticism, Universalism, Atheism, and there's a million other isms. Every other way is gate two. Let's get that settled right at the beginning. So we've identified our gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Gate one is narrow, that is the way of Jesus Christ. Gate two is wide, that is the way of every other religion, the way of the world, if you will. This is telling us the dimensions of the gate itself. Not the road, but the gate. One is narrow, one is wide. Gate one, narrow. It's hard to get through. So narrow, in fact, this word narrow refers to something so small, even a small person could barely squeeze through it. In other words, you've got to strip yourself of all external things to get through this gate. Can't bring works? Leave those at the door. Can't bring self-righteousness? Leave that at the door. Cannot bring your pride? Leave that at the door. You can't buy your way in. Why? You've got to leave all your money outside. The money bag won't fit. Can't sneak in, stroll in, or waltz in. Not enough room. You come in alone. Naked, if you will. Just like the song says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Cross that gets us through. It's the cross that gets us in. Narrow, difficult for an adult, but a child or a person with childlike faith should have no problem coming through this gate. And the interesting thing is, with this gate, you might go in naked, but you come out robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He takes all you have, which is nothing, and gives you all he has, which is everything. Oh, how glorious is our Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Amazing Savior we serve. And that's the narrow gate. It's narrow. If you look at verse 14, it tells us that gate one requires us to find it. In other words, this way is the way that's likely to be overlooked by people. It's the way that's likely to be passed over by people, ignored by people, dismissed by people. Why? Well, it doesn't look very appealing. It's narrow. You gotta leave everything behind. You can't take anything with you. Yet, this is the gate that Christ commands us to go through. And yet, it is the only gate that leads to eternal life. Gate 2, on the other hand, that's wide. Easy to get through. I mean, you can bring whatever you want in there. You can go with whoever you want in that gate. There's a stream of people pouring through this gate all at the same time. And I just see this as the party gate. This is the gate of fun. Jesus even tells us there are many who enter through that gate, streams of people going through gate 2. And you think to yourself, man, that gate's got to be headed somewhere good. Got to be headed somewhere fun, somewhere freeing. Well, maybe yes, a little bit, but not in the end. Certainly not in the end. Look at what Jesus says. Many. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. That gate, gate 2, the one that so many are traveling on, is headed to destruction. And Jesus is telling us, listen, don't be fooled. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for that way. Don't go that way. You know, I'd say to yourself, well, why are so many people on that road? Note the description. It's got a broad road. I mean, once you get through that gate, it's broad. As opposed to constricting. The word is used to refer to a large room in which a person can live comfortably and unbothered. It's got a wide gate, and the road is broad, it's spacious. No encumbrances on this road. Freedom to do whatever you want. Do what you want when you want. No rules, no regulations. On this road, you live the life you want to live. It's like that Sinatra song. I did it my way. You do it your way on this road. All the freedoms to do what you want to do. This is the broad road. This is the road of self-satisfaction. This is the road of self-gratification. This is the road of self-indulgence. It's my money and I want it now. This is the road of do whatever makes you happy, man. You do you. It's the broad road. Did you ever be stuck in traffic? Of course you have. Stupid question. Stuck in traffic and it's blocked up and you got 100 lanes and then all of a sudden you notice, oh man, they're bringing us all down to one lane. Takes you an hour to get to that one section. People coming in, coming in, coming in. Finally it goes down into one lane. And it's going so slow and you're like, oh. Then all of a sudden what happens to that one lane? It opens up. It becomes from one lane to four lane. It becomes a broad road. What's the first thing you do? I know what the first thing I do is, I'm going to make up for lost time. I'm going to move here. I'm going to move there. I'm on a broad road now. That's this road. You go over the speed limit. Here's a wide gate and a wide road that appeals to every sin and selfish desire that humanity has. This is the way that encourages you to go for it. But where does it lead? Where does it lead? Where does the road of self-indulgence, self-gratification, self-satisfaction lead? It leads to what? What does Jesus say? Destruction. Its final destination is destruction. Not annihilation, mind you. You can destroy something without annihilating it. Let that sink in for just a minute. What awaits every single person who is on the road, on the broad road? What awaits every single person who lives their lives for themselves? What awaits every single person who seeks to fulfill to the full all their lusts and desires? What does Jesus say? Everlasting torment and punishment. That's a scary road, at least in the end. You live any way you want on that road, but it's got a cost. Horrible cost. Daniel 12:12. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake. This is talking about the resurrection. These to everlasting life, but the others to reproach and everlasting contempt. Note, as I read these to you, the words everlasting. Matthew 3:12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That's everyone who's gone through gate two. Matthew 25. Or Matthew 18, and if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. Deal seriously with the sin in your life. Why? It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than what? Than having two hands or feet to be cast into the eternal fire. Matthew 25. Then he will say to those on his left, and I don't want this to be you this morning. Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. They'll be there too. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous, who have no righteousness of their own, but the righteousness of Christ, will go into eternal life. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Why do I show all these to you? Because a lot of people out there, it's even difficult to say the word hell because people scoff at that word. All right, here we go with hell again. No, it's a real place. However you want to phrase it. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. Imagine that for a moment. No grace, no joy, no hope. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Jude 6 and 7 calls it the punishment of eternal fire. Revelation Chapter 14 describes it this way. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, that is every other person other than those who worship Jesus Christ in the end times. If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, and he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his rage. When Jesus died on the cross, the full weight, anger, and righteous wrath, as my brother Mark always says, fell upon the Son Jesus Christ for every sin that those who would trust in him have sinned. The wrath due us was placed upon him on the cross. If you don't put your trust and faith in him, that wrath of God still resides upon you. And it's coming, folks. Because if he is truly a just God, if he is truly a holy God, he must punish you for your sinfulness. And the smoke of their torment, listen to this, goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the marks of the name. This is not a good place to be. And if you're not in Jesus Christ, this is where you are headed. Not just for a day, not for 2 days, but for all eternity. Oh, for you I pray if you don't know Christ. And we, as those who love Jesus Christ, should be all the more encouraged, if I could use that word, to share the gospel with the world, knowing exactly where people are headed. That it's a very real place. Eternal torment is real. Hell is real. Is it fair? You bet it's fair. Because God has extended his hand to humanity. His son has come and died on the cross to provide for you a way to escape that, and you have spit in God's face by denying Jesus Christ. You bet you deserve that. There are grievous consequences for taking the wide gate, okay, for traveling on that broad road. You want to know the truth? We're all on that road at birth. Every single one of us is born into sin. It is only the grace of God that saves us. That's just the facts. Gotta have Christ. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You can't earn it. You got to cry out to Christ for salvation. Jesus Christ, the narrow gate, the good shepherd. And if you do not put your trust and faith in him today, you are headed to a horrible place, a place of destruction, a place of punishment, which is so crazy to me because God has provided a lifeline to us. He's provided a savior to us. We all deserve that punishment. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's provided a way for every single one of us. So you might ask the question, okay, so why don't people take that way? Never underestimate the power of sin and the desire of sin. Some simply don't care. I don't care. Some simply don't believe. You can say I'm going to that place, but no, I'm not. Listen, just because you think it doesn't make it so. And if I'm going to believe anyone, I'm going to believe the Lord God Almighty who preaches that throughout his word. There is a hell. And those who do not trust in Christ are headed there. Some love their sin so much, they say, I'd rather take my chances and sin now. There are no chances to take, folks. You don't trust in Christ, that's where you're going. Some say, I've heard people say this, I want to be where the party is, man. I want to be with my friends. There's no party in any verse that I just read to you. No parties going on there. You ever been sick in the hospital? Hurting? Maybe you get sick, COVID, whatever it is. You got 104, 105 degree temperature. You're hurting. Last thing on earth you want to do is party. The last thing on earth you want people to do is bother you. Don't think hell will be any different than that. You're not going to want to party in hell. You will not party in hell. Some are duped by the crowd. Maybe you're duped by the crowd. You seem to think that if a lot of people are doing something, that it must be good. I mean, that's why commercials tell you, 5,000 sold today. Trying to convince us that through the sheer volume of people purchasing that product, that it is a good product. You have been burned by that one? I've been burned by that. Oh man, this sold 2,000 just in the last hour. Must be good. You get it, it's a piece of junk. But it works. Beanie Babies, you remember Beanie Babies? That was the latest craze. Get a Beanie Baby. It's going to be worth $1 million someday. Remember the Cabbage Patch Kids? They worked for a place called Zayers back in the day, 100 years ago. Little toy store. Cabbage Patch Day came. Man, it was ugly. You saw the worst of people jumping over everything. 2 weeks later, like, why'd I do that? Latest iPhone 6000. Gotta buy it. Everybody's buying it. They're gonna run out. Peer pressure, folks, doesn't stop in high school. Remember the words, Proverbs. So important that we remember this. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of what? Death. Destruction. You think it's right, but it's wrong. The wide gate, that broad road that looks so fun and so freeing, it's a mirage, folks. It's all a mirage. Promises freedom, delivers destruction. Promises peace, it delivers misery. My heart breaks for the trans community. They're pursuing something. They're pursuing peace. There's a hole in their heart, I hate to say it that way. They don't have a relationship with their Father in heaven, and they recognize that without recognizing that. So what do? They pursue earthly things. And they think that by having earthly things, if I can just have this surgery, if I can just do this one thing, then I'll be fulfilled, then I'll be okay, then I'll feel satisfied, then I'll be at peace. And what always happens in the end? When that illusion fades, they become so heartbroken that they often take their life. They need to hear the gospel and the good news of Christ. Things of this world fade and are gone. Things of Christ endure forever. Jesus is warning you. Enter through the narrow gate. The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Which one are you on? You might ask yourself the question this morning, how can I tell which one I'm on? I'm going to give you some this week, and I'm going to give you some next week. Number one, if you're following the crowd, friend, you're on the wide road. If you're marching with the crowd, you're on the wrong road. If you're doing what you want to do rather than what Christ is commanding you to do, you're on the wide road. If you love the world and the things of the world, you're on the wrong road. If it's not costing you anything to be a Christian, we'll see more of that next week. If being a Christian hasn't cost you some friends, maybe some family, maybe your job. Some of you students, if being a Christian hasn't cost you a grade or two, cost you ridicule, you haven't experienced any of those things, you might just very well be on the wide road. If your sin doesn't grieve you, you're on the wide road. The good news is God has provided a way through Jesus Christ. That's the glorious news. We sang about it this morning. We're going to continue singing about it. You've got to trust in Jesus Christ. You've got to enter into the narrow gate. And that's only possible by trusting in Jesus Christ. But what do I do? How do I do it? Cry out to Him. Do what I did. I recognized one day that I was on the wide road. And I just got on my hands and knees and cried out for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. I don't want anything in my life but You. And I remember confessing every single sin I could remember. I was on the floor for a while. And His promise is, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in that moment, you turn from your old road. God, in fact, picks you up and moves you. You turn from that old road. That's the old you. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And in that moment, you become spiritually reborn by crying out to the Lord, asking Him to forgive you. Telling Him He's the only thing you want in your life. Telling Him you wish to repent and turn and now live a life for Him. And my life, I stood up and a weight just came off. Joy flooded my heart. And from that day forward, my life changed. I didn't have the desire to do the things I used to do. I now wanted to please Him. And that's my desire for you. That's my desire for you. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can put all your doubts at rest. Friend, God did make you live to live forever. But where, oh where, will you spend it? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the reminder of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who often spoke of difficult things. And so we learn difficult truths this morning. Father, I pray for anyone among us this evening who sees or recognizes that they are on the wide road, that even now, Lord, that You administer to their heart. Compel them by Your grace, for we know that salvation is of You, to turn from their wretched way and seek Christ, the glories of knowing Him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.